ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
The defense spent 3 weeks flagging rulings, filing motions, and building a record. The conviction is in. The record now matters more than ever. Obviously, an appeal is going to be mounted. It happens in every case. An attempt will be made here. Here to help us understand where that could possibly go, what roads and lanes they might be able to explore, Bob Mata, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Obviously, this is going to be the next thing, a possible appeal from Corey Richens on this conviction. Bob, obviously, there's many steps to an appeal. We don't need to go through and re-educate everyone how it all works. But where What lanes do they have here when you're looking at this case? What do you think they're going to go with? And what sort of opportunities do you think they have from a defense standpoint?
Well, she's definitely going to appeal. Yeah. I mean, almost every defendant in this country files a direct appeal. So that'll happen. I want to appease people's fears. it's going to all be harmless error. I mean, there were certainly issues that were brought up in terms of, you know, things that maybe shouldn't have come in or came in a way that they shouldn't. The one thing that I thought that might have some legs was how Bloodworth was describing what they needed to prove as to the aggravated murder. Mm-hmm. That could be something that has some legs. Ultimately, though, the appellate court in that case, there was just too much circumstantial evidence, and it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, so like ultimately, they're going to say, because like if you're the defense, you're going to say, okay, should the walk the dog letter have made it in? You know, they'll make that one of the issues. That shouldn't have been admissible. They're going to say that the book had zero relevance, so that it shouldn't have been in, and they're going to bring that up. And then the court is going to look at it and they're going to say, okay, you might be right. Okay, let's assume that you're right. Yeah, the book shouldn't have come in. Okay, the children's book. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that because of the weight of all the other evidence, that's harmless error. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's how the harmless error doctrine works. Like you can have the appellate court say, yeah, that might have been a mistake in terms of letting this thing or that thing in. But ultimately, when we evaluate the weight of the evidence, that book being in there or not in there isn't what the jury hung its hat on. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So ultimately, the appeals will fail, whether or not she's going to get into it. Like, we'll be hearing about Corey Richens for 10, 15, 20 years.
Sure.
You know, like in 7 years, we'll hear about some post-conviction petition. Maybe some dude crawls out of the woodwork and is like, yeah, man, Eric was always trying to buy Fent from, you know, some dude like that. And they try to file a petition. You know, and then really where you get into the post-conviction act petition world, that's where you have a situation where ineffective assistance of counsel rears its ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, you've got to look at it in terms of, did they make a mistake by not presenting any defense? Because right now where we stand is we had a state's theory that went unchecked.
Right.
You know,
and
who's,
Okay. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, I'm, and it's a real kind of quick one. It's kind of riffing off of things you've said before regarding defense, and also one of the, and I got to tell you, thank you everyone that's chiming in. Lots of great side conversation in the chat going on, really good thoughtful stuff. But on that, you know, saying that you don't always believe your clients are innocent, is there anything you picked up? I mean, pure conjecture, obviously. Do you think her lawyers thought she was guilty or innocent?
I don't think they asked. Yeah, I mean, if you're to listen to, you know, statements that are like, Lewis put a statement out right after I think the jury went in to start deliberating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where she professes her innocence. You know, I mean, I never ask my clients because it has zero impact on what my job is. My job is to make sure, like I've said a million times, to make sure that they get a fair trial.
Right.
Make sure that the cops did their job right. Make sure the prosecutor did their job right. You know, where I'm protecting the Constitution, because I think what people tend to forget is that it's us, the defense attorneys, that the people love to hate, are really the last line of defense against government intrusion in our lives.
But what I'm saying is that sometimes you can kind of see the conviction in the defense. Like
typically, they don't make it to trial, Robin.
You know, like, I know, but I mean, I'm just thinking, I guess, of Richard Allen's team.
Yeah.
You know, and how you knew they totally 100% believed in him. And I'm sure you've seen defense attorneys that really, truly 100% are in side by side with their clients, and other times may not. I was just wondering if you had picked up on anything that gave you a tell one way or the other.
I think it was hard for me to tell, you know, and I shouldn't be able to tell.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I was just wondering if you did.
It should appear that every defense attorney is in there doing the job. And again, It you're not trying to get guilty people off. That's not what we're doing. What you're doing is you're testing the state's evidence. You're making sure that it's a fair trial, and you're making sure that everybody did the right thing in getting there. And if all those things hold up and they have powerful evidence, that person is going to get convicted. That's how the system works, mm-hmm. or it's how it's supposed to work. And you know, but we have outliers like Richard Allen, and there's too many outliers. That's why guys like me out here screaming about do the work, do the process. You know, it's important because mm-hmm. we can't have innocent people going to prison. And if you're out there thinking that there are no innocent people in prison, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You're absolutely nuts. Okay. Yeah. So like, and if we have innocent people in there, that forces people that work in the system to care. Because you should mm-hmm. care. So, like, as far as those gals, I don't know, man. Like, I honestly don't know if they believe it. You know, I've done that thing where I've been like real in depth in a case. And I as a standard rule, like Allison and I, we never ask our client outright if they did it. That's movies and TV. That's not real. Mm-hmm. In real life, I'm saying, all right, what are they saying that you did? And this is in my initial consult with any client. And remember, all criminal trials and cases are not murder. Most of them are not. Right. There's an entire world of criminal law that has nothing to do with murder. And that's a bulk of the cases. We all just happen to watch murder cases. Mm-hmm. So it's a bigger picture than I think that people tend to think about it. But, you know, I ultimately have never had a client come in and make an admission that I did something. Like, they almost always tell me they didn't do it. And so then the next step is I get the discovery, and then I call them in and I say, look, we've gone through the discovery. I know what you've told me, but we have some serious problems. They have some very powerful evidence. How do you explain this? And then I'll go through the evidence with them, mm-hmm. and then they'll either have an answer or they won't. If they don't have an answer to a question that I know needs to be answered, I'm then talking to that client like, all right, here's the deal. This is going to end up in a conviction because they have the evidence against you, and we have no way to rebuff it in mm-hmm. any way, shape, or form. What I think we need to do is, do you want me to start having a conversation with the prosecutor about a plea deal? You know, so because most cases plead out. Like, that's the other thing that I don't think people understand.
Yeah.
90%+ of cases plead out. Well, we're seeing a trial out of every case that's going on in America, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of cases in every courtroom, in every county, in every state. It's a lot. There's a lot going on. So, you know, when we're seeing that there's eight cases going on court TV or Law and Crime, that is not even a drop in the bucket. That's like a star in the universe. They're rare. It's rare for a case to make it all the way to trial, because typically, unless you have a defendant who is just adamant, or there's no downside for you to go to trial because they're trying to kill you. You know, usually in a death penalty case, they'll go to trial because what do you have to lose? I mean, my end game, if I go to trial and lose, they're executing me. So we might as well go try. And you're hoping to push those in order to get the state to offer the carrot of we'll pull the death penalty off the table. And then you plead it out, which is what we saw with Koberger. Yeah, you know, but like the non whatever like the Probergers they call them are still coming at me. They're like, Bob, like Koberger's not guilty. I'm like, he pled out. I've never seen anybody in the history of American jurisprudence plead out to murdering four people if he didn't do it. And they're like, well, they pressured him. I'm like, no, they didn't. Like, they took death off the table and he elected to save his own life. You know, it's like, so, but like that pleading part of it is just part of the process. And it's, there's just a lot involved with it. Yeah. You know,
thanks for the insight, Bob.
I just like to let people know that it's like, it's not as, well, you're not watching a TV show.
No. One piece of evidence that, and we discussed this earlier on a couple of weeks ago, and I'm curious now that we have a verdict and now that we're looking at an appeal, where do you think it would land, the hair follicle thing, if they were to test the hair follicle of Eric, and let's say it were to show he was an avid user of fentanyl? We don't know that. I mean, the test was never done. It was, they brought it up in the case. They said, you know, it wasn't tested, so we don't know. But would that be considered new evidence at this point because it wasn't tested? Or would it be, well, they didn't do it, so it already was evidence? Or, I mean, that'd be an interesting piece if it showed that Eric, because they had nothing to show, they tried to argue that he was a regular user of these things that really landed nowhere. If you actually had the evidence, which a hair follicle test would answer it either way, would that be a road for Corey to take on an appeal?
Yeah, but I think that that's ultimately going to end up again in that ineffective assistance of counsel.
Would that be part of that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, as much as the defense was saying, why didn't the state do it?
Like, they could have too. Couldn't they have? I mean, they could have ordered that. I mean, it's just, absolutely. I was wondering that too. It's like, you guys just didn't think to do it till you heard a podcaster talking about it.
Or they thought to do it. And they didn't want to know.
They didn't want to roll the dice. Yeah.
Right. You know, that's that thing. It's like, I think that ultimately if that becomes a thing, and I think that it could be a thing because it's helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, if your theory of the case is that Eric was using, and not necessarily like a fiending addict, but that he was using because of his Lyme disease or whatever the case may be. And you can show that there was drugs in his system that would substantiate and corroborate your theory, then I think it was a major mistake not to do it. You know what I mean? But like, ultimately the courts are probably going to say, well, that was strategy. You know, you knew that you could do it. You elected not to do it because you were afraid of the answer you might get.
Yeah.
And that's probably
the
truth.
Yeah, I'm on the side of, they knew what the answer was going to be because again, when you have all the family data points, you have Corey's data points, you have housekeeper data points, you have all these people giving feedback onto who Eric was, the likelihood of what that was going to come back as. Again, even if it was 50-50, you're really hedging a screwball there.
And no, he wasn't cremated. He's buried. I know somebody in the comments said there's no test, but he's buried. He's not cremated. So, no.
Oh, well, yeah. It's ultimately, short of it, it's going to have to be somebody coming forward that for whatever reason didn't come forward at this point, which, you know, the longer that goes, but yeah. I mean, it happens, you know, sure. I mean, it happens. Yeah. I wish that we could get some of these people on, cause I'd like to ask some questions. So they did consider the prosecution case for 3 days. That's not deliberating.
No.
Taking notes and paying attention is not deliberating.
Well, and Bob, honestly, too, I thought of this too. It was dinner time, so they probably had dinner in there too. So put 100%. An hour for eating. They deliberated really less than 2 hours. I mean, it, maybe less than an hour and a half ish.
If you put the dinner deliberate. In there, they went in. I've been on a jury that we did this, and it was, and we did a deliberation, and it wasn't that long. But it was, but most of the time was filling out the cards.
You know? Right. I mean, you're reading the instructions. You're trying to understand out how to fill the verdict forms out. Like you probably did a straw poll. You had to go in and elect your four person. I'm just going to read everybody what the jury instruction in Utah is as to deliberations.
Yeah.
Because if I read one more comment about they did the job, you're not understanding what the job is.
Bob's going to throw his phone at the camera.
I mean, it's frustrating because it really is symptomatic of what I'm dealing with and what we're dealing with in this country in terms of people not really giving a shit.
As always, Bob's caveat on it with he thinks she's guilty. Guaranteed.
I think she's guilty.
But here's what they didn't do, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's just do your job.
Right. Like take those notes that you took and challenge one another.
Yeah.
Oh, like that's what you deliver. All right. So it says to help you in reaching a unanimous agreement, I recommend that you not commit yourselves to a particular verdict before discussing all the evidence. You guys think that happened? They all had a verdict in mind when they went back there. In addition, you may not use methods of, and this is the jury instruction that was given to the jurors.
Okay.
And or some form of this to every juror in every courtroom, anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so in addition, you may not use methods of chance, such as drawing straws or flipping a coin. My God. Rather, it's terrifying that they have to say that in a jury instruction.
Sure.
Is he guilty? I don't know. Let's flip a coin. So rather in the jury room, consider the evidence and speak your minds with each other. Listen carefully and respectfully to each other's views and keep an open mind about what others have to say. If there's a difference of opinion about the evidence or the verdict, do not hesitate to change your mind if you become convinced that your position is wrong. On the other hand, do not give up your honestly held views about the evidence simply to agree to a verdict, to give in to pressure from other jurors, or just to get the case over with. So what I'm here to tell you is in 2 hours and 40 minutes, there was no real discussion had. And all I'm saying is I think they landed on the right verdict.
Mm-hmm.
But when this becomes the norm, like people in chat screaming that they did the work when they didn't, I fear that any of you that are saying that ever get on a jury where somebody's life and liberty is at stake.
Is it a reflection just in our world? I mean, in our world too, as we get more philosophical about it, just everybody wants everything done like that. I mean, I'd be curious. Statman should be able to look this up, and maybe you can give us some info on this, Robin, at some point. I'm wondering, have jury deliberations statistically in murder cases in the United States, have they gone down in the amount of time that juries have spent deliberating over the years? Like, has that number decreased?
I bet it has.
I'd be curious.
I guarantee, like, that's Robin's world right there.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, Robin will pull that up because, like, statistically, I think just our what you said and just the inability to be able to concentrate more than, you know, like that's just the society we live in. We live in soundbite world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people just don't have the ability to be able to concentrate and lean into things like they used to be able to. So I would be stunned if it wasn't that, Tony, that we would see if we were to get an average. And I don't know if they keep time like on every jury trial. Obviously, that would be quite a job, statistically speaking, to try to like how long did each jury deliberate. I mean, obviously we can use the cases that are streamed, you know, to give us kind of a sample size. But like I said, frankly, the last big trials have all been relatively quick jury deliberations, if you want to call them that, you know, and it's, and Nikki, again, none of us, Bob, including Bob, were in that jury room. People are only guessing what I could tell you, Nikki, is I know the mechanics of what happened back in that room from actual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that any kind of real conversation and deliberation about what transpired just to make sure that they go through all the evidence. And I always like a devil's advocate in there.
Yeah, like, there's no broad trend.
There isn't?
No broad trend up or down. It's pretty stable.
There we go.
I'm going to give props to our audience, though. Even though, you know, we're sitting here talking about how we don't think there's any deliberation that went on in this. I dare say, though, because so many people are really vested in cases like that, even though we can sit here and say, oh, we would do it like this. When you're in those moments and those things, when you care, I mean, everyone who watches shows like ours cares very deeply about cases. I guarantee you, if you're ever on a jury, you're going to do that work because you're into it. I mean, how look what we do every day. We're into this. And so I really think, even though this was a quick jury decision, I think everyone, most likely people tuning in are going to say, oh, yeah, I'd be all in. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, this is good shit.
The theory was so powerful, man.
Like, yeah, it really is. It's overwhelming.
That was a theory-driven case as opposed to an evidence case, which they're lucky. Law enforcement is extremely lucky because they absolutely shit the bed on that case. Yeah. Theory was so strong and that they were able to still get enough evidence to get it over the hump.
You know, and that's a fair point, too. You know, so if you had a case that had a lot of tactile-type evidence to go through, I dare say the deliberations probably would have been longer. Since this was more subjective hearsay, you know, the amount of time to kind of talk about that, since it's been presented numerous times throughout it the entire time, that maybe that actually impacted that time of deliberation because there wasn't anything to really examine except what you thought about it.
Yeah, I think that there's probably some truth to that. You know, when there was no defense presented at all, you didn't get that pushback.
Right.
But what that tells me is that conversation turns from, all right, look, the defense put this out there. Let's compare and contrast and see where shit falls out. Yeah, like the defense is full of shit here. You know, we're going with what the state says. But when it happens in a case like this where they elect not to put on defense, the job changes for the jury. And at that point, what they have to do is they have to really go through and determine if each and every element of every statute has been met, because that is what is required by the law. This isn't about feelings. This isn't about she's an awful person. This isn't about I hate her. Emotion is left at the door. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to go in and you have to say, okay, element one, like you saw Bloodworth throw all the statutes up for every single charge. And he's like, these are all the elements that we have to prove. And you heard Bloodworth say, this is how we believe we proved it. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the conversation that goes and takes place back.
And there's where I think the defense did fall down because.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
She said, yeah, here's what she gave a thought and opinion as well. She didn't give them anything to work with. And so if they didn't, you made a really great point. If prosecution is giving you this and she gave you nothing except what I think about that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Fascinating conversation, as always, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. If you're watching this right now, I want you to do one thing. I want you to go onto Amazon and order this book. It is available right now. It is launch day for Robin's new book. What's that, Robin?
And it directly relates to Corey Richens. Yeah. It's not all about her.
Don't
That's
be
how I
Corey.
Baseline.
If you read this book, this will protect you from becoming a Corey Richens.
And recognize the nutters in your life.
If not, you may become a Corey Richens. Anyway, check it out. It's available right now on Amazon or wherever you get books. It's not all about
Thank
me.
You.
Today's launch day. Go check it out right now, wherever you get books. All right. Buy the book. All right. As always, go check out Defense Diaries wherever you get podcasts on YouTube. Bob's channel over there. And for Robin, for Todd, for Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you guys for listening. Continue the conversation in the comments. We will join you there. Until next time, for everybody, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.